You have your Bibles this morning, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. And let's stand in honor of reading God's Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. Everybody there? And the Word says, "For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you." Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning, and again we praise and we honor you, Lord God. And Father, as Buddy sang that song, Lord God, we thank you that you're always there for us all the time in every situation, Lord God. And Father, thank you for salvation this morning, Lord. And I thank you for those that are here this morning. God, we pray again for those that are sick. And Father, I pray if there's one here this morning, God, that doesn't know you, Lord God, that they'd make that step toward you today, Lord God, realizing that you are the way, the truth, and the life, Lord God, and that it's only by you that we're saved, Lord. And Father, we thank you for that. Again, Lord God, that salvation, the work that you went through on that cross for us, Lord God, and coming out of that tomb, Lord God, to claim victory for us forever. And Father, I just pray and thank you for that this morning, Lord, and pray that you use me as a mouthpiece for you, Lord God, that I can stand back and get out of your way, Lord God, and you speak to your people. And Lord, that your word would not fall on deaf ears, Lord God, but we would be hearers, Lord God, and we would do what your word says. In your name we pray. Amen. Last Wednesday night, but before I say anything, we're going to get back to Revelations when God gets me back there. I study it every week, and when he says go, that's where we'll go. But anyway, in 2 Corinthians, I don't know if y'all have read the book of Corinthians, but, you know, there's some verses here in 2 Corinthians that are very, very detailed. And we talked about Wednesday night about, do we realize just how much God cares for us and what God has given us through his son, Jesus Christ. Sometimes I think we don't understand, we know that he saved us, but I want to talk this morning, or he's leading me to talk about salvation, what salvation means, what he actually done on that cross, the price he paid, and that he arose again, and that one day he's going to come again, and we're going to get him. I think about the word salvation, and I think about last week we talked about put on the full armor of God. I think about you and I when we were lost. You know, we were out there, and we were looking for something, looking for somebody, looking for happiness, looking for peace, and we tried everything in the world. I know I did. But the peace can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand this morning as we go through these verses, what I said Wednesday night, Jesus Christ has paid it all. He done it all. It's done. It is signed, sealed, and delivered. It is there. And what we have to do, a lot of people think that you come to church and one day you get that feeling, you come down front and you take the hand of a preacher and you recite a prayer. You've heard me say it a thousand times. You get baptized and that's it. But that's not it. And Jesus tells us plainly in these verses we're going to read this morning that there is something that we got to do, and he explains to us what he done. And look at verse 12. He says, "For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you an opportunity to boast on behalf of that on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance." You see, the Christian, we are supposed to be about God's business. That's what that says. We are not to come to church on Sunday and be religious and we can get up and pray in the morning when you read our Bible, but that's not all it is to it. He says, what he's saying in these verses is, that you and I are supposed to get our answers from God, from God's Word, from the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And we got to pay attention to that, because we need to be talking to those out there that are boasting about themselves, that are boasting about the country, that are... I know every one of us has got a friend, and all they talk about nowadays is politics, you know? And if you go to, sometimes when you're just on the side, Lord puts this in my head, but Psalm chapter 2. Read Psalm chapter 2, and it'll tell you about all these politics, all these people that are against everything that's right, against the Bible, against God. But God tells us in His Word, "For we do not commend you ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast." In other words, don't boast about yourself. Boast about God. And there are those out there, and He said, "That you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and in heart." There are a lot of people out there that boast, that are proud, you know. And our proudness and our boasting is not going to last. The only thing that's going to last is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we always, you know, you're always saying, "I'm looking for an answer." What's the Bible tell us right there? He said, "That you may have an answer." The answer to every problem. We're talking about what we should do this morning, what we should do as Christians. But the answer to every problem that you will have is right here in the Scripture. The next verse, verse 13, says, "For if we are beside ourselves," and that means that if we compromise, with others, if we compromise with the position of the world. There is a lot of churches out there today and a lot of pastors that accept everything that the world says, and you can't tell the church from the world because they compromise everything and they do the things of the world, and they come to church and they read a few scriptures, but they want to tickle people's ears. They want to tell the people what they want to hear. Well, that's not what it is. The thing about it is this morning, we need to know what it is that God wants us to do, finding all our answers in Him. And He said, "For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God." In other words, if you're going to be compromise with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to be, instead of getting into talking with somebody and they go to talking about the world and politics and all the things that's going on, instead of compromising and wasting your time talking about that, He says, God says, that we are to tell them about Him, because He gives us answers. Again, if we are, let me back up, 13, "For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are apart of sound mind, it is for you." If you're apart from God, you're doing it for yourself. If you are a Christian, you and of sound mind, you are supposed to be telling people of Jesus Christ. A question I have, I was going to ask it later, but it just hit my mind, so that's what God... Are you in the same place that you were the day you got saved? Secondly, do you know the day you got saved? Do you? I wrote one of my devotionals on that this week, and I remember, you may say, you hadn't been preaching. September the 20th, 1990 is when I got saved. It's when I really got saved. I thought I was saved before. I went through all of these situations in life that people that play Christian do, but on September the 20th, 1990, I got saved, and Jesus turned my life around. Like I said, one of my eyes. Jesus turned my life around. When I put my faith and put my life in His hand, He began to change my life and Joanna's life, and we were able to climb the hill, and the older you get, the further you go, the more mature you get. But God said, if you're going to do something, do it for Him. If you're going to boast, if you're going to compromise with Him, be on His side. Verse 14 says, For the love, and I want you to pay close attention to the rest of the scripture. I want it's just the promises that God gives us is unbelievable. And so many times we read His word and we forget about it. We don't it don't even register. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge that if one died for all, if Jesus Christ died for all of us on that cross, that's what the word is saying there. It says that if one died for all, everybody, the whole world, then all died. See what he said? That if he died on that cross, what did he die on the cross for? He died on the cross for our sins. That's what he did. And so it says, the word of God says that he died for all. In other words, he done away with sin. And we can't comprehend that. Let me go on and read this. It says, verse 15, for he died for all, every one of us, that if one died for all, then all died. In other words, we died, Jesus died, and he took our sin to that cross, and that sin died not only for him, but for us. We're not saying Jesus was a sinner, but Jesus took on our sins. He was spotless as a lamb. He was as clean as he could be. He was tempted every way that we were tempted. He, in every way, but he never fell to the temptation of sin. And so he took on our sin and took that sin to the cross, and sin died. You know what that's what he said. What a promise that is, that Christ took that sin to the cross and died. And then the verse says, read 15 again, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves. See what he's saying? You don't live for yourself no more. You live for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You are to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, to live a Christian life that people know that you're a Christian. How many people you work with, how many acquaintances that do you know that you're a Christian? How many times have you invited your friends and loved ones that are not saved and don't go to church? How are you spreading the gospel, or are you going home and living like the rest of the world? That's what, do you compromise? He mentioned that. Do you compromise with the world? Do you do the things of the world? Do you come to church on Sunday just because that's what you're supposed to do? Or that's what your mama come to church, your daddy come to church, your grandma come to church, your grandpa come to church. What do you come to church for? You come to church to recharge your battery, to get out there in the world and tell people about Jesus Christ. You do not compromise with the world. He died for all. He says he died for all. Who should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Jesus Christ rose again from that grave. I told the people the other day at the funeral that I done, standing out in that tent at Center Hill, I told them, I said, you see all these graves out here? They got people's names on them. There are false religions in this world, Buddha, Muhammad, you name it, Stalin, all the people that's led people to sin, Jim Jones, all these kind of people. Every one of them has a tomb somewhere with a name wrote on it and the day they died. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I've been to Israel to the tomb, and that big rock on that tomb is rolled back. There's no name on that stone nowhere. There's an empty bed. A bed, it's a bed carved into, it looks like a bunk carved into the side of that mountain. That solid rock, he's not there. He's gone. Jesus says, for he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. He's alive. Our Lord and Savior is not in a tomb somewhere. We're not serving a dead God. when you talk to him. Buddy said a while ago, that's one of my favorite songs, In the Garden. The song is about someone going to a garden early in the morning and fellowshipping with Jesus Christ. And that's what you got to do. That's what we talked about last Sunday, I think, about you got to get up in the morning, you got to pray. You got to read your Bible. You have to set time by yourself to have an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've explained that 1,000 times, and people think an intimate relationship with Jesus. You are supposed to put God first. You're supposed to seek Him first. The only example of that, my wife told me a couple weeks ago, she'll get on me again this minute, but anyway, she said, I use my stories too much, but I mean, that's all I got. The Bible says that, you know, blessed are those that your testimony. Supposed to tell your testimony. How can I explain that to you? Back in 1974, when Joan and I was, 73, we was going together, and I was working at the prison. I was off on the weekend, and the second I got off on Friday evening, the first thing I done is go home, get my bag, and go to her house. She lived in Houston. What's her mom and daddy? And we'd either go to Anderson to her daddy's ranch, or we'd have, but I wanted to spend every minute of every second of my life with my wife, and I still do. Be 48 years in August. We are still together because I wanted that relationship with her. And I do anything for her and help her in any way that I can. That's what we're supposed to do for Jesus Christ. We are supposed to have an intimate relationship with Him. You're supposed to get up in the morning and want to, you know, I'm not talking about it's the sin, the smoke, dip, any of that stuff. That's not what I'm, but I'm going to use it. I can remember when I used to smoke. The first thing I want to do is get a cigarette. I couldn't wait to get dressed, get away. At that time, I was living with Mom and Daddy, and ain't no smoking, and he didn't even know I smoked. Well, he probably did. No, he didn't. If he would, he'd probably kill me. But I couldn't wait to get a cigarette. I couldn't wait. That's the way Jesus Christ should be in your life. You shouldn't, when you wake up in the morning, when your eyes pop open, you're going to say, thank you, Jesus. Go get your coffee. Brush your teeth, comb your hair, wash your face, and be with Jesus. That's what he's saying. That is the only way that you are going to be able to do what he said. And he said, again, all that those, let me, verse 15, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, verse 16, from now on, from the day that you get saved on, from now on, in verse 16, we regard no one according to the flesh. We look at people, what that means is, we don't look at people how they dress. We don't look at people how they act. We don't look at people because they're a drunk or a drug addict or maybe they've been to prison, and we look. God said, from the day that you get saved on, from the day that he went to the cross and rose from the grave, that you are to see people in the spirit. You know what? Don't look at what they've done. Look at their heart and realize that God loves everybody. We don't do that, do we? We look at people like, you know what the Bible says in James. You know, it says if a, I'm paraphrasing this, if a wino dressed in dirty, ragged clothes comes into church and a rich person comes in dressed in gold and silver, you don't give them a better place than you do the wino. You put them, you respect them because we're not looking. God said, you don't look at our outside no more. You look at the heart, and that's what God saved is our heart and our soul and our mind. And he wants us, don't look at that. Look at the people. Look. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Don't look at what he's doing in the flesh. Don't look at how they're dressed. Back a long time ago, when I'm not going to say what church. I pastored in one of the churches I pastored, and a young man that I had been working on for 17, about 15 years old. I had been working on him for a long time. And go visit him and talk to him and took him out and got him a hamburger a couple of times. And he come in the church house. He had a Budweiser shirt on. And one of the dear, sweet, precious sisters had been there all her life. You don't wear nothing like this at church no more. You don't even need to come to church with that beer shirt on. He left. He never went back. We are not to look at their outer garment. We are to look at their heart. And if we cannot, like my daddy used to say, if we can't look at their heart and love them, then we better keep our mouth shut. Because Jesus Christ died, what does it say up there? He died for all, everybody. The rich, the poor, the sick, the homeless, the widow. He died for everybody, and we are to love everybody. He says, you know, the Bible says that if you can have all the promise, all the gifts that God gives, but if you do not love, you don't have anything. Love. It says love your neighbor. We live in a society now that most people don't have a clue who their neighbors are. Don't even know them and don't care to know them. We live in a society that people that have a little money buy these big places, put a high fence around and an automatic gate on the driveway. They don't want nobody in or don't want nobody to come. They want their place. They want to be left alone. People, we cannot leave people alone. We cannot leave society alone. Because we think that we're better than they are. We've got to love everybody. And that's what the Lord said. Now, let's this next verse. Let me read 16 one more time. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. And so what he's talking about is that we don't see the flesh no longer. He is in the Spirit. God is Spirit. That's the reason when Jesus resurrected, remember one time in, I think in the book of John, when after the resurrection, a couple of days later, he walked through a wall. He's in Spirit. He's in Spirit. Don't look at, again, don't look at the body. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, pay attention to this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away before all things have become new. Are you new? Are you still where you was at when you first got saved? Do you remember what the preacher was preaching, the invitation song that they played? Do you remember that feeling that you got that is beyond any feeling that you ever feel in your life? There's nothing that will make you feel any better on this earth than having Jesus Christ come into your heart or doing something for Christ that you have accomplished something for him. But he lets you know. You can feel that feeling. But we keep on. The world keeps on. The church keeps on. And we keep on messing around and doing all the things of the world and compromising with the world and not telling people about Jesus, and the Lord's going to come. And it's going to be too late for a lot of people. And he ordered us, he told us that you and I should tell everybody about the Lord. And he said, Jesus says in his word there, therefore, if anybody, is in Christ. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. How many times have you heard somebody say, old so-and-so got saved the other day at church. Everybody knows he's been a drunk all his life. Been in penitentiary four or five times. God forgets all of that. We're supposed to forget all of that. That is gone because God said that he abolished sin. We just read it. Sin don't live no more because God took sin to that cross on Calvary and died. And you and I, as God's people, have got to be telling people about Jesus Christ. But before we can tell anybody about Christ, we got to get ourselves where we can tell them. People always have an excuse. I talk to them about witnessing to people. I don't know what to say. You don't have to know what to say, because if you'll go visit or call or whatever the Spirit of God lays on your heart to do, if you go do it, whoever it is, wherever they're at, God will open the door. I told somebody that, Wednesday night, I was telling them in prayer meeting, I've been visiting, I worked with a man that lives here in Oakhurst for a long time when I was 13 years old. I marked putt wood for him. Back then they cut putt wood in 4 and 5 foot lengths. And I had a pine twig about that long. I marked it with yellow keel and he'd come by and cut it. He'd been a drunk all his life. And I've been witnessing to him all his life. Sometimes it was bad witness. Last 40 years been good witness. And every time I leave his house, I'd let me pray with you. Oh, no. You know, I don't, all that old stuff. You know, he just don't want nothing to do with it. Last Tuesday morning, I visited his sister, and then I went and visited him. Got ready to leave. And I said, let me pray for you. He said, yeah, I need a lot of prayer. That's the first time I've ever been able to pray with him. I told Wednesday night, pray that he's 82 years old, that somehow, some way, that, and I know how, and I know the way, is that you got that the Lord Jesus Christ would save him before he's gone this earth. And a lot of people look at him just like I was saying, if he walked in this church, I guarantee you that there's somebody in this church that's known him or knew of him that's going to say, he ain't over here long. And the Lord told me to say this. I tell him at funerals all the time. It don't make no difference. As bad as I want this church house packed to the brim, my main focus is that people get saved, but it don't. Salvation has nothing to do with coming to church. You find it in the Bible. There's one verse that says, do not forsake the gathering ourselves together. But that is telling us to come to church and fellowship with each other. But you find me in the Bible where it says to be saved, you got to go to church. You can quote the Bible backward and forward. You can come to Sunday school. But the only way that you're going to heaven is like Jesus told, I believe it was Thomas in John 14:1. Thomas looked at him and said, I don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about? And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is the only way. Now, let me correct some of that. If you get saved, you want to come to church. And you're going to be around Christian people. Y'all heard me say that. You are going to come. If you do what I talked about last week, and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you get into his word, you are going to tell people about Jesus Christ, and you are going to come to church when you can. When the doors open, you're going to try to be there. That is to, like I said, get your battery charged. Get out there in the fight. So God says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed. Behold, all things become new. Thought about that. As I was reading that a while ago, I don't know what I was going to do, Revelation, Psalms, or this. But Joanna and I used to watch these shows on TV about rebuilding houses and stuff. And I remember one particular show, these guys bought old houses, like old log cabins and barns, and they put them back together. And there was this old log cabin that wasn't much more than three walls left and a roof, and it had a fireplace. And this guy was wanted to buy it to restore it. And the guy that was selling it wanted $35,000. Ain't no way in God's name will I pay $35,000 for that old. Ain't even got a roof. Nothing. It's just the shack. But that guy bought it. He went to work on it. And he took care of all the old rotten logs and stuff. He took care of and replaced with new logs. Put new windows in it. Put a new roof on it. Put a new door on it. Cleaned it up. Put air conditioning in it. Put heating in it. Got rid of all the old stuff. And when he got through, he sold it for $125,000. Do you realize that's what Christ Jesus does for us? We're out there. We got all this junk. We're decaying. We're falling apart. All these habits and all these things. And to look at some of these people, or even us, I wouldn't give a plug nickel for them, but let me tell you something. Jesus Christ can take that. I saw it so many times in my life. I can look out there, people in this congregation that were bad people, were down on their luck, were in financial state, was tied to habits and tied to the world. And I can see what God has done in your life. Just like that guy bought that old ragged log. Okay, there's one. And that is Jesus Christ. That one, our Lord and Savior, will come and he will purchase you. He purchased you on that cross. He said that he took you, he went to that cross, he took all sin. And he says that if he takes you, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Now, all things are of God, who has recounseled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ, recounseling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. This word right here will renew you. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you to, on Christ's behalf, to recounsel to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be for sin, that we might become the righteous of himself. That we might be righteous. That we, I want to read one scripture in Romans. Where is it at? Romans 3:24. And that reminds me of that old house I was talking about. Any of these old houses, you see people buying houses, remodel them, completely make them new. That's what God will do for your life. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ paid it all. Jesus Christ died for your sin. And Jesus Christ wants us, you and I, the questions I asked in the middle of the sermon, do you remember when you were saved? Do you remember the song that they sang? Do you remember the date that you were saved? If you don't, we can graduate from college. We can become a doctor. We can become whatever we want. We get married. We can do anything. But of all the things that you can do in this life, that day, I guarantee you everyone can tell me that are married can tell me, the day you was married, the day you met your spouse, the day your children was born, you can tell me everybody that. But do you know the day that you received Jesus Christ, the most awesome thing that could ever happen in your life? Can you tell me that date? Do you remember? And are you the same today as you were that day? Let's stand. Father God, I come to you this morning. Lord, I praise you. And I honor you. And Lord, I thank you for the blood that you shed on that cross at Calvary, Lord God. And Father, I thank you that you can take this old body, Lord God, that's torn apart and God full of habit, full of the world, full of all the things that you don't want us to live for. That you took every bit of that to the cross, Lord God, and when you bowed your head and said it was finished, sin was gone. God, life, eternal life, is ours. God, I pray this morning and thank you for that, Lord. God, that you took me one day, Lord God, and you turned my life around, God. You turned my family around. God, thank you for the blessings that you've given. And God, right now, I just want to share, like your word said, with these people. God, the happiness that they can have in their life if they would just put their faith in you. Might not understand it all, Lord, but if they get into your word, we just read a while ago, all the answers are there. We have to put our faith in you. And Father, I pray right now that Christians in this church would come down and get on their knees and pray and thank you, Lord God. And Father, if there's one in here that doesn't know you, I pray that they'd come down this aisle right now, Lord God, and get on their knees, Lord God, and just say, Lord, I messed it up. I believe that you're my Savior. I believe you died on that cross. I believe you arose from that grave. And Father, I want to live for you the rest of my life. Father, I pray right now. I know there's people that's going over that right now. I pray that your Spirit, Lord God, will get on them and just move them out of that aisle and down here. And God, I give you the praise, give you the honor, and give you the glory. In your precious holy name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.